Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Inflationary pressure will come from domestic sources and less so from global factors, according to the latest quarterly economic bulletin from the Central Bank of Ireland. It also said that modified domestic demand, which is a better measure of Irish economic wealth, will grow by a more sustainable 2% on average over the next coming years, and wages are set to grow in real terms over the next 2 years. Robert Kelly is the Director of Economics and Statistics at the Central Bank of Ireland and is on the line. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Joe.
Robert, can we start with MDD, modified domestic demand? You think it'll be 2.2% this year. That sounds a little bit like a Goldilocks rate of growth. Would that chime with what you're thinking?
Well, when you say Goldilocks, it's mainly determined by two factors. One is capacity constraints within our economy, and the second is external factors. So if we think about within our own economy, we expect modest growth in consumer spending. And really the cause of that is inflation is falling. It's returning to 2% this year, which means households will have more purchasing power. The second element domestically is investment. And while overall investment is more muted because of higher interest rates, we see it being bolstered by home building, which we've actually seen pick up through the higher rate cycle. And then we think about external demand. There's almost like a wave passing through the economy whereby we saw very high levels of exports from the M&E sector, such as pharmaceuticals over the last couple of years with big pandemic demands. But we saw those turn negative last year as they more normalized. We expect a more normal growth in exports over the coming years, having declined sharply last year. So below historical norms, but positive growth going forward.
Well, when I talk about Goldilocks, I mean, obviously not too hot and not too cold. 2.2% for MDD, which is a much better measure than GDP for our economy. If that's sustainable over the long term, then I think most people would be satisfied with that.
Yeah, so it is. It's a broad, stable growth. And yes, as you point out, it would no overheating dynamics at that rate. It is stable growth. However, there's potentially capacity constraints there domestically, which if they were addressed, maybe we could move that potential growth up towards 3%. But I agree with you, it is a stable growth path after a period of volatility.
Now, inflation, of course, hit nearly double digits a year and a half ago. You think it'll ease, but the inflation that remains in the system will be domestically driven as opposed to created by international factors such as oil prices being forced up due to the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've seen over the last couple of months is those external factors you refer to, such as energy prices, gas, wholesale electricity prices, are falling a little bit greater than anticipated. And also goods which are manufactured abroad have fallen in prices. So energy prices are actually pulling inflation down currently, and goods are really adding nothing to it, industrial goods. And if you look at the outlook for energy prices, it's actually to fall by a third on market prices over this year. But as you say, the domestic price pressures, which really are services inflation, things like prices at restaurants and services we engage with, much more domestically generated in terms of wage pressures and that, are a little bit more sticky. They haven't come down over the last few months, and we see those falling more gradually over the next coming years.
Yeah, no, you're talking about wages. It looks like real wages, i.e. nominal wages, stripping out inflation, are going to be up, and those they'll be higher than inflation. Is there any risk that there could be a wage price spiral, which could again kick off inflation?
No, I think when we're talking about the level of wages we expect in the economy, roughly 4.5% is what people feel. And as you say, that turns into real wages or purchasing power in between 2.5 and 3%. We wouldn't see evidence of wage price spirals. In fact, we've done a piece where we look at the composition of inflation domestically generated, and we actually see labour productivity in the domestic economy offset some of that wage growth. And also the profit margins, which are more elevated in 2022, have actually become below historical norms in 23. So we're seeing some profit margins absorbing those wage pressures. So right now we wouldn't see evidence of a wage price spiral.
But if you are earning money, those euros in your pocket will go a little bit further because inflation, as it currently stands, is muted.
Exactly, yeah. So while you'll see a gain of 4.5% in terms of your wages, that's not altogether different from last year. The big difference is prices were rising a peak close to 10%, where now we're expecting prices to rise at 2% less than those wage developments. So it simply means each additional euro you're earning goes further in terms of what it can buy in the economy.
You mentioned this a little bit earlier. The FDI, the foreign direct investment sector, is noticeably weakening with more prolonged downturns in pharma and ICT manufacturing sectors.
Yeah, so not necessarily is it weakening. It's more I'd call it a normalization. What we've seen in those sectors is very large demands. Lots of the global vaccines produced or where he produced here in Ireland, which boosted output. Like, if you look at that M&E dominated sector in the CSO data, it grew by 25% year on year in 21 and 22. We're seeing a more normalization. I guess the question for us now is, do we see that return to its trend growth? Or there's potentially downside risk. So that is our central outlook. But there are downside risks. So of our main trading partners, for example, their demand was to fall, geopolitical tensions were to rise, and we just didn't see that normalization in trade globally. That's where we'd see the downside look up to the outlook.
Now, what sort of geopolitical tensions are you talking about?
So in essence, if there was anything that would cause a reduction in growth, so if there was an escalation of war tensions, shipping, for example, we know shipping have been rerouted, and that seems to have been quite muted in terms of its impact on inflation to Europe so far. But ships are now instead coming through the Red Sea or coming around the coast of Africa, for example. If there was to be more bigger or larger knock-on effects to supply lines, for example, that would have a knock-on effect then to the pricing that firms have to do and ultimately the demand they could meet.
Now, we've spoken about what inflation was like 2 years ago, or certainly 1.5 years ago, and ECB started hiking rates at the end of 2022. It appears to have worked in the fact that inflation has come down, and that's the main mandate of the ECB.
Indeed, that is the mandate of the ECB. And what we've seen across Europe, very similar story in terms of inflation dynamics across Europe. We've seen those external factors start to fall out of inflation. It's returning towards its trend. The ECB president herself said, increasingly confident when they look at that, the measures of underlying inflation, that they are trending downwards. But really, it's the same story as here. The domestic price pressures are the ones that's left in that services sector. And they'll talk about not being sufficiently confident yet that they're fully there. But the signs are inflation is abating in Europe.
And the governor of the central bank has hinted that interest rates will be going down eventually this year.
Well, it's certainly the market expectations for that to happen. But I think the ECB have been very clear. They're not really in the time space of saying when. It's much more a data-dependent approach. So they're looking at key data like the strength of monetary policy transmission, you know, how the outlook is evolving. And really the one left, and we've talked about it a little bit already, is wage dynamics. And here the challenge is there's a little bit of a data gap. So wages kind of are observed with a bit of a lag, maybe up to 2 or 3 months. So a piece of work actually done at the central bank in conjunction with Indeed looks at job postings to try and close that gap and give us a more up-to-date of what's happening at the margins where people are getting new jobs. And what we're seeing there is we're seeing a reduction in wage pressures from a height of more like 4% down towards 3%. So we're definitely seeing those wage pressures dissipate across Europe. But we will have more data as we in the coming months to confirm if that's happening across the labour market.
All right, Robert, thank you very much for your time. That's Robert Kelly, the Director of Economics and Statistics at the Central Bank of Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.